Well, it is Father's Day, and so this morning my message is entitled, Be a Father. So a good number of you here have that opportunity to be a father. I'll tell you a little story. There was a father of five children, and he'd won a toy at a raffle. Having five children, he called the kids together, didn't need the toy for himself, of course, to ask which one of them should have the present. Who's the most obedient, he asked, who never talks back to mother, and who does everything that mother says? Five small voices replied in unison, okay, daddy, you get the toy. Now that's not about who wears the pants in the family, okay? It's not what this is about this morning. It's actually, as I thought about fathers, what's it mean to be a father, one of the key things that comes to mind for me is that a father is a role model. So this father evidently is a pretty good role model for the kids. Be a role model. It's the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning as a father. Our heavenly father becomes a role model when Jesus comes and lives in our world as a human. Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. He says, follow me. In other words, do what I do. I am your role model. So a father is a role model. Our heavenly Father is. Ephesians 6:4 tells us that fathers are not to exasperate their children, but they're to bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So Paul gives fathers this job description. Don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. When I think of training, I think of discipline, of guidance, of practical assignments. Fathers pay attention to what their children are doing. They give them guidance on what to do and what not to do so that they're trained by what they do as children to be responsible and successful adults. That's what a father does, needs to do with their children. Instruction makes me think more of taking time to speak to a child, to explain things, to make sure that they understand why do we do what we do, what's behind it all. So those are roles given to a father. Now you can do all of that, but it's all for naught if you do not model in your own life what you're presenting to your children. If they don't see in us what we talk to them about, what we give them guidance about, if they don't see that in us, it's not going to mean a whole lot. So we're role models. Our kids are looking to us. There was a father who said, you better get ready, to his son. The bus will be here in a minute to pick you up and to take you to Sunday school. The boy asked, did you go to Sunday school when you were a boy, Dad? The father replied, yes, I did. The boy said as he was getting dressed, it probably won't do me any good either. That tells a lot, of course. That's not the story that we want to hear, right? As fathers. It matters what we do, how we live our lives. Paul's able to say, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And as you think about Paul, he says this also in 1 Corinthians 4. This is what he says. He says, I'm not writing this to shame you. He was telling the Corinthians some things that they needed to work on as they followed Christ. He says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, it could be like parents, guardians, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Paul says, I'm a spiritual father. I'm your spiritual father. I brought the gospel of Christ to you. And as Paul says that, I am your spiritual father, what's he say? He says, imitate me. He recognized, I'm a role model. That's my job as your spiritual father. So imitate me. He was living up to it. So whether you're an old father this morning or a young father, consider how you're modeling for your children and for other people who are watching you. How do they hear you speaking to others and speaking about others? How do they see you dealing with authorities Are you respectful? How do you treat those who are different than you? Are you full of compassion, or are you impatient and irritable? Are you willing to lay down your desires to serve and bless others? Our kids are watching our children, whether they're grown or still young children. They're watching. Other people watch us. They see what we do. In Ephesians 5, Paul says that husbands or fathers will love their lives by laying down their lives for them. Will love their wives by laying down their lives for them, just as Christ laid down his life for us. Paul's calling for a kind of integrity there. When children and others see integrity between what we say and how we live and act, they'll follow our lead as dads, as fathers. Now, you heard Brad say this morning as he reflected on Psalm 103 and as he was reflecting about being a father that he's not always able to live up to what maybe he'd like to be. Sometimes he's disappointed with himself. I got to tell you, there's plenty of times that I've not acted like I should or in the way that I'd like my children to be. So I haven't always been the role model that I'd like to be. Being a father as a role model can be an overwhelming calling. And honestly, we're doomed to failure, men. I think any father who begins to honestly reflect soon becomes very aware of his shortcomings. The good news is that we can make changes. God gives us that ability in Christ to change things in our lives. The good news is that if we've blown it, we can apologize. We can say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Here's the way I'd like to do it. This is the way I would like to be. The good news is that our children are more gracious than we could imagine. Not only is God gracious, but even our children are gracious. Most of us know that our fathers are not perfect. And yet, we often speak of what they taught us and how they demonstrated through their lives the things that have stuck with us, the things that have influenced us, the things that have shaped us from who they were and what they believed. So children are really pretty gracious with fathers. And as you think about your father, it may be that way. My father modeled in his life choices that serving God and others was more important than being wealthy. One of the things he modeled as I looked at the choices he made in life. He modeled how to work hard in his lawn care business. He always took the hard jobs. We would be out as a family, in the summertime especially, all working together on mowing lawns. And he'd take the hard jobs. He was always the last one finishing up when we were finishing up at a lawn. We'd all be sitting in the truck ready to go, and he'd be going around and making sure all the last-minute things were taken care of, that everything was done right. He showed us how to relate to others in his interactions with customers and neighbors and people who weren't always the easiest to get along with. So there's some of the things that I remember about my dad, who's still living, ways that he influenced me, that he was a role model for me. What did your father or a father figure in your life model for you that you want to be a part of your life? What was there? What do you want to model for your children and for others that you influence with your life? As a father, you're a role model. Those of you who are sitting here who aren't fathers, well, you'll end up being a role model too, but it's one of the particular things that I think of for fatherhood. So as you model, I'd like to talk about a couple of things that you might model in your life. The first is to teach your children to work. In Genesis it says, by the seventh day God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all of his work, and God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy. Because on it, he rested from all of the work of creating that he had done. Our Heavenly Father is a role model, and one of the things he models for us is work. An earthly father does the same thing. It's interesting to me that the Bible refers to creation as work. I mean, God spoke it. It came into being, right? But it says God worked for 6 days as he created the world. And then on the seventh day, he rested. We'll get to the rest in a few minutes, but let's talk about the work. Our children should see us working as fathers, both going to jobs, working around the house, working in the house. We should give our children the chance to work with us. We should let our children help us, even when it's more work to have them helping, or we can't get it done as quickly when they help. I don't know if I always did that the best over the years. But our kids need to work with us. They need that. Again, in Ephesians 6:4, it tells fathers, don't exasperate your children. What's that mean? What's it mean when it comes to work? Well, develop reasonable expectations for the work that your children do. What's reasonable to expect of them? Encourage them. Hold them to a standard, but be careful that it fits their age and their ability as children. Admittedly, that's challenging sometimes to determine where's that line at. But don't exasperate them, but help them learn to work. Told you that my parents had a lawn care business. That's a way that I learned to work, by helping out with that. Took me a while to realize how valuable that was, but I think I understand it now. What are your children learning from you about work? Is it just a curse to be avoided? Or are they learning that it can be one of the fulfilling parts of life, working? Proverbs 14:23 says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. It's one of the important things that we need. Paul also says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Now, Paul says that, you might be surprised if you didn't already know, to slaves. That's who he's writing to when he says those words. He's making a point about our attitude about work. We're to work like we're working for God. Is that the attitude that your children are picking up from you? As you work, as you do work, that you're serving God, that's what it's about. So be a role model by teaching your children to work. So God modeled work for us as a heavenly Father, but then he also modeled rest, right? It says he rested on the seventh day. He didn't work all the time, nonstop. There was time to rest from work and enjoy other activities. Part of that is play and recreation. That's a part of rest. Do you play with your children? Play is an important part of a child's life. Do you join them in their play? It's a story about a mom and a dad. They were putting their 3-year-old child, Brian, to bed. As his parents heard, their parents, as after they walked out of the room, they heard Brian's muffled crying in the room. So they went back in to see what was wrong. And as they got back in, the child began to cry hysterically. He told his parents that he'd accidentally swallowed a penny, and he was sure that he would die any moment now. The father, in an attempt to sober him down, took out a penny from his pocket, and he pretended to pull it from Brian's ear. The child was thrilled and stopped crying at once. In a flash, he snatched the penny out of his dad's hand and swallowed it and said, "Do it again, Dad." So play with your children. Be careful, okay? How you do it. And maybe sometimes mom thinks you're playing too rough or whatever, but play with your children. That's rest for kids, to play with them. I remember my dad playing games with me. Some of them were memory games, ones that I could beat him at. He had his mind on other things and stuff like that, so I could win. We played checkers together. We enjoyed family vacations. Dad worked hard, but he also knew how to play and to rest. And as a grandpa, he still knows how to play, and I think the grandkids have been blessed by his playing with us. So know how to rest. So as our Heavenly Father modeled rest, he also instructed us that part of resting for us is worship, right? Exodus 2:8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." To be holy is to be set apart. That's what it means. So we rest and we worship on the Sabbath. We set it apart as a special day. It's different from the rest. So fathers model worship to their children. They model worship and rest. Is gathering for times of worship with the body of Christ important to you as a father? Do you attend out of duty or because you want to connect with God and with His people? Your children will observe your heart and whether it is in worship when you take responsibility for bringing your children, your family, to church. So, what's that? It's not Exodus 2:8. 28. Try 20. Sorry. Is that right? No. Chapter 20, verse 8. The Ten Commandments. It's there. If I got the numbers down wrong, I'm pretty sure it's there. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Got it? Thank you. So your children are going to be influenced by the way that they see you worship. They'll be influenced when they see that you take time to read the Bible and to pray because you want to be connected to God. So you worship and you rest, you model that for your children. They need to see that it's in our hearts. Your children will be more influenced by seeing your actions and your heart for connecting with God and His family than by your preaching to them about it. Doesn't mean you don't say anything, but they'll be most influenced by what they see in you. So let your children see that worship and rest are a priority in your own life. The prophet Micah, in Micah 6:8, says this. He says, "He has showed you," that's God, "He has showed you, a man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So Micah boils it down to the basics here. He says, get this right, and you'll be pleasing to the Lord. This is the heart of what God wants to see in our lives. So children need to see fathers treating others with respect, with justice, with compassion. It's kind of what Micah calls us to. He says, this is it. This is what you model. This is what should be in your lives. When they see this in our lives and when we instruct them in these ways, our children will internalize them. When I was a kid, we lived across the street from an alcoholic named Ben. Lived in a neighborhood where the lawns weren't very large, the houses weren't real large, so we were somewhat close together. So across the street from Ben wasn't very far away. Ben seemed very old to me. He lived with his mother, who was of course older and was blind. She rarely came outside. We kids in the neighborhood, we made quite a bit of noise when we played. And we played in the streets sometimes. We wanted to play softball. That was the only place you could play, was in the street, if you didn't want to break windows. So we used the street. And Ben didn't like the noise. So occasionally he would come out of his house and he would yell at us and he would shake his cane at us. He's kind of scary for kids. What do you do with a man like that, with a neighbor like that? Well, my father treated Ben with respect and compassion. He'd go over and he'd talk with Ben, and he'd do what he could to help Ben and his mother. I'd go with my dad up to Ben's door and get a chance to look inside the house and see what it was like in there. It was dark, seemed kind of depressing to me in their house. Eventually, I'd deliver the paper to Ben and I'd mow his lawn. He wasn't a terribly pleasant man. But I learned how to treat him with respect and with compassion, because it's what my father modeled for me. Kids need their parents, their fathers, to model respect and justice and compassion in relationships with people. So be a role model. Be a father. It's a high calling, men, to be a father and to model these things for your kids, for your children, for others. Being a father is challenging. And I present the challenges this morning because they're needed. You're needed as fathers. You're essential in the lives of your children and your grandchildren. God's given you a special responsibility to love and to cherish and to protect your wife and your children. And you'll do that best as a role model. So now let me speak to children and wives. And that covers everybody here, by the way, because we're all children of a father and a mother. Dads need your blessing. In Ephesians 5:33, Paul tells wives to respect their husbands. And we already read in Ephesians 6:4 that it says for children to obey their parents. I think dads are especially blessed when they receive respect and appreciation from their families. So give some respect and appreciation to your father or to your husband. Respect is a feeling of admiration or deference toward a person, as well as specific actions and conduct representative of that esteem. In other words, it has to do with the way that we relate to them, the things that we do and the things that we say to them. Another place says a feeling of deep admiration for someone elicited by their abilities, their qualities, or their achievements. Now we're called to respect every person simply based on the quality of being human. So when it says that respect is a deep admiration elicited by one's qualities, well, we're to respect every person simply because they are a person. They are human. And so we may respect our fathers simply based on the quality that he's our father. Or as a wife, that he's our husband. Do dads and husbands always act respectably? Nope. They don't. Does that mean that you can't respect them? No, it doesn't mean that either. Will you need to confront a father sometimes? Yeah, you might. If you do, do so in a respectful manner. Make sure that you express the things that you do admire about your father or your husband. Your father, be appreciative of those things. Your father or husband will be encouraged and will probably be a better father or a better husband because of the respect and admiration, appreciation that you give them. Don't just stroke his ego. Look for the things that you really do respect and appreciate. Dr. Emerson Eggerichs teaches the principle of unconditional respect. Is it possible to have unconditional respect? We talk about another unconditional thing. You know what that is? Unconditional love. Emerson says that when he looks at Ephesians, he finds both the call for unconditional love and unconditional respect. Unconditional love is the kind of love that we often have for our children, right? It's the love that God has for us as his children. We love them no matter what. God's love is so unconditional that Christ died for us while we were still sinners, while we were still rebelling against him. He died for us. Doesn't mean that God liked or agreed with our sin or that there would be no consequence for our sin. We weren't very lovable at the time. But in spite of all that, God loved us and he did what was loving. So that's unconditional love. Unconditional respect means giving respect, even if it's not always earned. So show your father or your husband unconditional respect, even if he's not always respectable. Hopefully, you can see many ways in which he is respectable. And as I started playing around in my mind with that thing of unconditional love and unconditional respect, it occurred to me that we also have another phrase, we call it tough love. What's that mean? It means that sometimes we do what's difficult out of love and we continue to love. So maybe tough respect means that sometimes we have to talk about some things or confront some things, but there's an underlying attitude of respect there as a part of that. And so respect and appreciation will encourage your father, your husband. I think it's something that men sort of thrive on, is that respect and appreciation. So bless your father, your husband that way on Father's Day today and throughout the year. Respect and appreciation. Fathers, your wives and your children need a husband and a father who they respect. If you follow Jesus, you'll be able to be the role model that they need. Jesus will help us with that as we follow him. Wives and children, show your husband, your father, the appreciation and the respect that will encourage and call the best out of him. Show unconditional and even tough respect as that's needed. We have a Father in heaven who loves us, and when we willingly receive his love, we can become the fathers, the husbands, the mothers, the wives, the children that he calls us to be. Jesus leads us in that. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. Some of you may have fathers who you may stand, may have fathers who you have good memories of, fathers who you respect highly. Some of you may have fathers who you've had some very difficult experiences with. We have a Father in heaven who is always good. And I encourage you to know him and to understand his love. He loves us unconditionally. He's always loved you. It will never change. And if you struggle with your earthly father, I'd encourage you to find what you can respect in him, to give him respect even if he's gone, to find that way of respecting and admiring what you can, and to receive the love that your heavenly Father has for you. Let him be your role model. Let's pray. Father, I pray for each father here. Lord, you know how imperfect we are and how often we've failed. And I thank you that you are gracious. Thank you that our children and our wives have been gracious with us. And Lord, I ask that you would empower us to be the fathers that you've called us to be. So Lord, I ask that you would encourage each one here. Each one would know how important they are, each father, and that they would know, Lord, that they have a great impact on their families, on their wives, on their children, and on other children and other people around us. And Father, I pray that each of us as children and those who are wives, Lord, that we would understand how to show respect and appreciation for our fathers. And Father, we want to remember how good you are to us. And our worship of you is showing you our respect, our love for you, our appreciation for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.